Today we're going to talk about one of those spiritual disciplines that I believe it is one that I take serious on my, not that I don't take any other one serious, but this is the one like I really make the point to make it and make it a habit in my life, and it's solitude and silence. Solitude and silence, or silence and solitude. I would like to start the sermon today reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 35. It is up there for you. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Listen, if the goal of the Christian life, it is to be more like Jesus, silence and solitude, it is one of those disciplines that take you right there. And Mark chapter 1 verse 35 describes you the actions of Jesus when it comes to this discipline. Jesus got up early in the morning while it was still dark, and he went to a solitary place to spend some time with the Father. If you are like me though, getting up in the morning and to have a quiet time is difficult, right? I would rather go to the Y and work out and have a breakfast with someone than really spend some time, right? I have a friend that is a Connor. He's right here. I put him in the spot. For the last couple of weeks, we were trying to wake up early to go to Y and work out. I have failed him greatly. You know, if anything, we're like, I am not going to work out. I am tired. I'm going to stay in bed. I'm not going to read the Bible. God knows that I'm tired, so I'm just going to stay right here in the warmth of my blanket to rest. We may tell ourselves that we struggle with the consistent morning quiet time because we don't really want to get out of bed. But I think there's something deeper that takes place in our mind, in our heart, in our souls that it is afflicting us and keeping us from spending time with God in the morning. I do believe that the real issue is that we avoid being alone and in silence. We just avoid that, right? We don't experience silence very well. Every time it is a silence, have you ever been in a place and it's silent? You call it awkward. Isn't that how it goes? Like, this is awkward. It's like, this is silence. Like, I don't like that, right? Like, whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening, being alone in silence is just flat out weird sometimes. And I think it is weird because, like, we are so distracted with noise and thoughts and words and people that we have lost the art of silence and solitude. But here's another thing. Being alone in silence, just you, God, and your own thoughts, really is not a quiet place. It's a scary place, isn't it? Like, because that's the time where you start, like, just thinking about yourself or your thought processes and your heart, and you start to realize that, like, maybe you're not as good as you thought you were. Maybe you're like just like somebody else that you dislike. It's like a scary place to be. But for most of us, solitude and silence equal loneliness. And loneliness is a painful place to be. Psychiatrist and psychologist says that loneliness is one of the biggest complaints people have. I often listen to pop music and some country music, and some of the lyrics that comes out of the songs is really crying out, please don't leave me alone, and I don't want to be alone, and I'll do whatever it takes to go home with someone just so I'm not alone. It's a sad, sad world out there where people are feeling lonely and alone. The Generation X, it is known as the loner generation, a generation of alone. They had to face the consequences of baby boomer parents who struggled to stay together in a culture where marital turbulence and two income became the norm. This generation experienced a growing up on a house where mom and dad was just not there, both working, and you were alone. So since we equate loneliness with solitude and silence with loneliness, we know the destructive fruits of loneliness in our own lives. Right? Loneliness, the pain of loneliness calls for us to take these major, like crazy habits that are rooted on the destruction of loneliness. There's loneliness of the addict who seeks to kill the pain with the drugs. There is the loneliness of the TV watcher who stares at the screen and not makes no real personal attachments or contacts with anybody. In an attempt to cope with the pain of loneliness, we may work harder, play harder, buy more, perhaps drink or take drugs in a rush, or rush in a relationship that offer potential no intimacy. And we find that in the end, we are alone and all these measures fail us. Despite what we may think, loneliness and being alone are not synonymous. Do you hear that? I want you really to understand this, that despite what we think, loneliness and being alone, that they are not synonymous. They're not the same thing. Loneliness is being alone and experiencing this inner emptiness. That's what being a loneliness is. It is being alone and experiencing this like empty thing inside of us. In the other side of loneliness, there is solitude. Solitude and silence. And solitude and silence is being alone with the inner fullness. If loneliness is being empty, solitude and silence leads and it is about being full. If we are going to have quiet times, times of solitude and silence, we must move. We got to learn to move from loneliness to solitude. Couple of more statements on that. Solitude is being alone on purpose. That's what solitude is. It is about being alone on purpose. You're making a decision of being alone. Loneliness is something that happens to you. Have you ever walked into a room where people, everybody knows each other and you don't know anybody and everybody's talking to each other, to other people, and you go in there, people look at you, you look at them, and out of the sad, now you feel lonely. The thoughts come, nobody cares about me in this place. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. I'm not worth anything. I have had that many times in my own life, walking to a room or being in the presence of somebody and feeling like I'm worthless. A side note, that's why it is important that every time you come to church on a Sunday morning, you see a new person walking through the door, you welcome them and make them feel loved and worth. You know why? Because they are. Loneliness, feeling lonely, it is a terrible pain. Terrible feeling that brings a lot of pain. We want to be the kind of church that welcomes people and embrace them because we know how it feels to be lonely. That's loneliness, a child who can't find friends to play with, or a mother who is going through struggles of life and she cannot find another friend to cry or to share struggles of life with. Someone who has been rejected by her lover or his lover, being left out, a new person in town. These are lonely situations, something that is done to you. But solitude, no, solitude is something you choose. When you wake up in the morning, you put on your running shoes and your headphones and you say, I'm going to go for a run. Me and myself, me, God, worship songs in the streets and I'm running. When you're in a blind looking for deers. When you got on a motorcycle and you're riding down the streets and it is you, the air, the smell, the sunshine, the rain. The bugs. Well, if you don't have a helmet on, put your helmet. Those are times you choose to be alone. It's like it is a choice. You are looking forward to the benefit that comes from those activities and the opportunity to allow your mind to wander around as you pass by a lake, as you glimpse the deer and God creation, as you duck the trees and the branches, as you see the wind hitting your face. You are alone, but you're not lonely. Being alone does not mean that you're lonely. Solitude and silence are companion disciplines. They are like known as the disciplines of abstinence. Silence gives depth to solitude, and solitude creates a time for silence, a place for silence. Solitude is the most fundamental of the disciplines because it moves us from the distractions of this world to focus on God, on ourselves. It moves us out of a world of spoken words to a world of stewardship of words. Silence, though, it is the catalyst for solitude. It prepares the way for inner seclusion and enables us to listen to God. In silence and solitude, we take ourselves out of the influence of the world, of our peers, of our society, to be influenced by God. I love what William Seams says. He said this: solitude bears the same relation to the mind that sleep does to the body. It affords the necessary opportunities for response and recovery. I just murdered that, didn't I? That was a bad reading right there. Do you know how many times I have read this by this time? I should have it memorized. Let's read it again. Solitude bears the same relation to the mind that sleep does to the body. It affords it the necessary opportunities for response and recovery. What sleep does to the body is what solitude does to the soul, to the mind. Thomas Merton says this: it is not speaking that breaks our silence, but the anxiety to be heard. Man, I love these two statements because they are so true and so necessary for us to understand. As I read the statement from William Seams about sleep, I was like, man, that's such a great illustration. So I went on to do some researching about the importance of sleep. This is what I found about sleep. This is how important sleep is, okay? When you have a good night of sleep and you have a good habit of sleeping well, these are the benefits. You are better able to focus and learn. It's easy to keep attention when you're rested by a good night of sleep. You feel happier. You're just happy when you sleep. Amen to that. You're more productive when you sleep. You're less hungry. We can all use a little bit more of that, right? You won't get sick as often. Those are some of the benefits of sleeping well. If it is sleeping, it does to the body the same thing that the solitude does to the mind and to the soul. Man, let's translate this. You are better able to focus and learn. Man, there's nothing more true than that. When you spend quiet time alone with God, you are able to focus on Him. You can hear His voice. You focus on His word. Man, you are a learner. You just open up of your mind, of your heart, and you allow the word of God to come in and to transform you. It's so true. You're happier. I'll make a joke. If you're a grumpy Christian, go spend some time with God. You're going to be a happy Christian. When you're tired, it's hard to control your emotion. When you're rested, it's easier to control your emotion. Man, there's nothing more true than our spiritual walk with God. The more you walk with God, the easier it is to control your emotion and to be commanded and to live not by your emotions, but by what the Word of God says. You're more productive. You're more productive. You know why? Because you're a learner. Those who learn wants to apply the things that they learn to your life. When you're learning from God and Him alone, man, when those words come into your mind, you start to apply them and you become more productive in your Christian walk. You're less hungry. How does that work for the Christian walk, less hungry? Works on a discipline of fasting, right? Have you ever tried to fast, skip a meal, and spend that time in prayer? Man, it is hard. It is hard for all of us. It is not easy to skip a meal and to focus on prayer. But when you do it, focusing on God as a learner, and you see the productivity of that time with God, you can care less about food. You want to spend time with God. Food is no longer a God, but Jesus finds his place at the center of our heart. You won't get sick as often. Man, a lot of us, we are giving in to the temptation of this world, getting sick through sin because we are not having our quiet time, our time of solitude and silence before God. Putting ourselves before him and allowing the immune system of the Holy Spirit to come in and the Spirit of God to live his life through us so that we will not be attacked by sin and become sick. So true. The importance of silence and solitude reminds me of resting before God, but not an unproductive resting, but a purposeful rest, a rest that prepares us for the future, a rest that strengthens us, a time alone with God in silence that rejuvenates us, your soul, preparing you to walk life on earth. I think the best illustration of this is Jesus himself. Look, some of the verses that we're going to spend time together here this morning. Mark chapter 1, verses 12. We read this. At once the Spirit sent Jesus out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended to him. Time of solitude and silence before God. Listen, let me tell you this. When you're starting to create this habit in your life, do you know what happened? The enemy is going to come and do what he did with Jesus. He's going to try to attack you because you're trying to strengthen yourself before God and have that rejuvenation that the Spirit of God brings to you. The enemy is going to say, like, you can't have that, so I'm going to start to tempt you and to attack you. It's like he did with Jesus. But here's the thing, a time of solitude strengthens you, and no matter what the enemy brings your way, you will withstand. Knowing that God is with you through the whole process of temptation. But that is only possible if you start the process of silence and solitude with God. How many of us are falling into the temptations every day? And you know why? Because we're not being led by the Spirit to spend some time with God. Mark chapter 1, verses 35, that we start the verses. It is so important. This is what I said. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Listen, this was the first thing that Jesus did very early in the morning. While it was still dark, Jesus got up. Man, when you start the day with Jesus, when you start the day opening your Bible and in silence, not a word has been spoken yet, all the kids are still sleeping, the dog is still sleeping, nobody's talking, it's just like this quiet, you, God, and the Word. Praying. It's of solitude, a solitary place. I love that, the word, a solitary place. What is your solitary place? What is that place that you go to spend time with God? Where is that solitary place? It might be, for Jesus was the mountainside. We'll read this later on. For Jesus was the mountainside. For you might be the recliner in your living room, where the lights are dimmed and you get the Bible and a cup of hot chocolate and you sit there and you're reading the Word of God and just on the silence of the soul and of the mind, reading the Word of God with your cup of chocolate and just allowing the Spirit of God to speak to you. It might be the side of your bed. It might be your couch. It might be the floor, the carpet floor where you kneel down when you read your Word. Might be for me in the cold in front of the fireplace. Yeah. Me, my Bible and the fire, waiting for God to speak. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 says this: When Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been beheaded, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Here's one of the things that we don't understand sometimes, is that when we are grieving, when we are going through a very difficult time in our lives, when we need God to speak to us, we go to that solitary place and we are face to face with God, us, our thoughts, our emotions, and God. That's what Jesus did when he was grieving the loss of his cousin. He goes to God and he finds a solitary place to go grieve with God. Solitary place and silence are great place to be while you're grieving. And we need to understand that. We need to go to that place ourselves when we are grieving. But we also need to understand that those who are grieving has to do what Jesus did, to withdraw themselves to a private place and go spend some time with God in silence and solitude. And we need to give them the time for them to grieve. How many times someone is grieving and instead of us giving them the time that they need to be healed by God, we are just hovering them. Forget that only God, only the words of God can bring healing, not our words. Mark chapter 6, verse 31 and 32 says this: because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to his disciples, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Man, can you see the habit in the life of Jesus of going to a place to be alone? This time he's alone with the disciples. It's not like alone of not having people around you. It is choosing to be in the presence of God with some other people in this case. But Jesus is doing that. See, Jesus' life was a busy life. How many of you live a busy life? Jesus lived a busy life too. People coming and going, wanting things from him. Me, 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 Jesus, do this for me. Jesus, do that for me. Heal me. Say a word of encouragement to me, Jesus. And just making Jesus busy and sucking the life out of the guy. Jesus like, hey, that's enough. Disciples, let's go. Let's take a little time to rejuvenate. Let's take a little time to rest before God. Let's take a little time just for ourselves. Allow God to speak to us, to strengthen us, to prepare us for what is to come. See, we live busy lives. It might be schedule, might be circumstances, might be people. Reality is that we all need to learn from the life of Jesus. We need to press pause. We need to press pause. And to get the strength that comes from God. Here's what I love about this habit of Jesus of going to a solitary place to pray and spend some time with God in silence is because it prepared him for the future. In solitude of the wilderness, Jesus prepared to inaugurate his ministry, Matthew chapter 4. In solitude of the mountain, he prepared to select his disciples. In the solitude of the garden, he prepared to sacrifice his life for the sins of the world. Preparation for the future came in the life of Jesus through solitude and silence. He went to the mountain, he got on the boat, he went to be alone, he got prepared for what came next. So many times in our lives we are not prepared for what comes next, and we often surprised because we're not allowing God to prepare our hearts through solitude and silence. You want to be better equipped for the future? Expand quiet time with God. Little reflection, silence here. I love Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7 tells this: there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. How many of us don't understand that verse? We are speaking all the time. I'm guilty of that. If you ever spend any time with me, you know that Sam talks a lot, right? But here's reality. I, like you, we need to learn that there is a time to be quiet. In silence, we put an end to mindless chatter, gossip, and small talks. We let go of the need of expressing our opinions. And perhaps most crucially, we control the need to explain ourselves. We have this deep need to maintain our reputation and cultivate our image to justify ourselves. We want to follow every action with an explanation as to why we did that or why we said that. If you need to explain it, maybe we shouldn't say it. See, also so many times we use our speech in order to prove ourselves, maybe even prove the reality that we exist. I love Facebook because right now you don't have to speak through your words anymore, right? You can speak with your pictures. So if you put in Facebook, means you did it, right? Isn't that how it goes? You're speaking by just putting out there for people to see. You're communicating, not with words, but with pictures now. And so here's the thing. It is not only a silence of words, but a stewardship of communication. Feel like we're worth more by how much we communicate we are doing to people out there. Silence. Powerful thing. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciple to himself. I think Jesus love the mountainside as you might love the specific place in your house or on your office where that you like to spend time with God with. For Jesus was the mountainside. What that is for you, if you haven't that place, find a place where you can call it your mountainside, a place where you can go to pray and spend some time in silence with God. Quickly, five things that solitude is. Solitude is being alone for personal growth and accomplishment. Those who are successful learn to be alone. Not loneliness, not to face loneliness, but to be alone. Whether it's an artist with a canvas or an author staring at a page or a teacher making a lesson plan or a businessman reviewing accounts, they all know the importance of being alone to focus and to concentrate and to learn about whatever trade they're doing and focusing on. From the time alone, a painting can be put into display. A book may be published that many will read. A teacher can stand in front of the class and teach. An accounting can be given to the stockholders or to the board of directors. Time alone, in silence, focusing. Solitude is being alone for personal renewal and refreshment. See, the soul has this power to restock itself if given relational space. There's nothing like walking alone in the woods, taking the time in the patio in the summer and just laying around in the grass and looking at the stars. It brings renew to your inner life. Solitude is being alone in order to enhance our relationship, our relationships. Someone has described marriage as two ticks without a dog. I like that. I put it there. Facing each other with a sense of need, marriage partners bring to their marriage a sense of loneliness with the expectation that the other will take it away. It's not lonely in marriage, it's in relationships too. We come from this sense of loneliness where we are emptied and needing someone to fill our cup. And instead of going to God, who the one who fills and overflow, we await other people to come and to fill us up. When we look in the church and for community, instead of looking God to fill our cup, we're looking for people to fill our cup. And let me tell you this, there's nothing that Pastor Sam and those around you can do to fill your cup. Your cup can only be filled by the Spirit of God. The sense of community here is when you are filled by God. Now, you're not only looking for someone to fill that cup, but you overflow with God. So now you can, from the overflow, give to other people. So many times we're thinking that people are the ones who's going to build community. People are the one who's going to fill us up with all this fuzzy and happiness inside of us. Oh, I have someone to go talk to. Listen, that's all good and it's commendable. It's in the Bible that we ought to rely on one another. But it all starts with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Relationships thrive when we are overflown with God's Spirit, and now we can give. We're not looking on anybody else for us to get stuff from them. When we are able to choose solitude, something happens to our relationships. Instead of expecting others to give, we are the one giving. Our hearts are open to receive however much or little others give to us. There is a sense of open freedom and relaxing peace that comes because there's no more demand in the life of those around us. The last statement, solitude is being alone in order to be with God. Solitude is being alone in order to be with God. This week, I would like for us to have a quiet time together. Thursday, again, at 5:30 in the morning, me, you, on Facebook Live. We're going to spend some time alone with God. On Wednesday, I'm going to upload a file to the church Facebook, to the church Facebook, and we're going to do the Lectio Divina together. The file will explain it to you, and then we on Thursday morning at 5:30, we're going to do that together. We're going to study God's Word together, spend some time with God. Because solitude and silence, they are the outward declaration of our inward hunger and desire to know God more fully and love Him more deeply. Let's pray.